Now, Christians approach the 2,000-year-long story of the church from multiple perspectives. They agree on dividing Christian history into discrete segments that combine religious and secular dimensions. The apostolic period, the first 2 centuries, the patristic period, 3rd through the 6th centuries, the medieval period, 7th through the 14th century, the Renaissance, 15th, 16th century, the Reformation in the 16th century, the Enlightenment in the 17th and 18th century, the modern in the 19th century, and the contemporary in the 20th and 21st century. So Christians have these rough and ready terms to use for those parts or segments of their story. Yet the valuation of those segments is very, very different, depending on which group you belong to in Christianity. So for people who belong to the Reformation, Protestant tradition, the patristic and medieval period is regarded as a great decline from original purity and original enthusiasm and of corruption. Whereas from the other side, the medieval period is regarded by many Roman Catholics as the greatest period of the church's flourishing, and the Reformation, until very recently, has been regarded as a pretty tragic mistake, which not only disunified Christianity, but also led to severe errors in understanding Christianity. And for all Christians today, as I will show in our final lecture, the impact of the Enlightenment, or what we call modernity, more severely divides Christians, perhaps, than any other phenomenon in its long story. Finally, Christians share the conviction that their story has a goal. The English literary critic Frank Kermode has written a wonderful book on eschatology called The Sense of an Ending. And he uses the image of Christians as people who have had one shoe drop and are waiting for the other shoe to drop. They've heard the tick, but they're waiting for the tock. And Christianity has this sense of a goal, but there is within Christianity much less agreement about what that goal looks like. The notion of an age to come or a world to come has fluctuated in importance in different periods in Christian history. Already in the late second century, a group called the Montanists fully expected Jesus to return and to establish the new Jerusalem in the small town of Pepusa in ancient Phrygia. And the prophet Montanus and his helper Priscilla predicted that this was going to happen shortly. And throughout the history of Christianity, there have been powerful millenarian movements. The term millenarian comes from the term millennium, which is the expectation of a 1,000-year reign of God on earth, which is predicted in the book of Revelation chapter 21. So at different periods, especially when centuries turn, there have been powerful millenarian movements within Christianity, people whose entire focus is future. Now today, especially in North America and in Latin America, millenarian Christianity is one of the most rapidly growing. This is a very powerful movement within Christianity today. And we find an example of it, for example, in David Koresh and the Branch Davidians at Waco in recent decades. The sort of reading of the contemporary story in terms of the book of Revelation and the expectation that the end time is coming soon. Many, many Christians disagree with that view of the future completely. They hold a much more evolutionary view of Christian development and the future. For example, a movement called the social gospel, and more recently, liberation theology within Christianity, has seen the future not as cataclysmic, not as an inbreaking by God, which is going to result in a rapture, carrying away of souls, and an Armageddon and the destruction of the created world and a great fireball. But rather, in terms of the battle in which God joins through Christ against oppressive social structures. And liberation theology in particular has seen the future in terms of the possibilities of for humanity that can be realized first within the church.